So great to just engage in worship this morning, and privilege this morning to be preaching or speaking to you, just sharing a few quick thoughts. I'm going to try and make it quick this morning, so just taking my watch off just to allow some time to continue to worship afterwards. But I do feel privileged that I get to pray, get to speak this weekend in the midst of our 48 hours of prayer. And yesterday, during my time slot in prayer, I just really had a sense, you know, that the Lord was singing songs of victory over us, you know. And I do think one of the things I love about those songs is that sense of declaration around who God is and what He's doing in and through all of us individually and also collectively. And I have a real sense of excitement in my spirit because I think there's so much more to come, and was just, thanks, Dave. Just thinking around some of the passages of Scripture and, you know, how easy it is for us to get distracted, I think, by some of the disappointments and burdens we carry. But, yeah, it is a privilege to be speaking to you this morning, just carrying on from one of the series that we are engaged in called The Few Who Followed. But before I start, I'm just going to start with prayer. So if you can join me, that'd be great. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for the activity that's been happening this week, Lord. We just want to acknowledge, Lord, that that you are sovereign, that you are all-powerful, and we love you so much. And we're so grateful, Lord, for the privilege we have, Lord God, to be a part of your bigger story, for the plans and purposes, Lord God, that you are calling us into. And I pray today, Father, as I speak, that your name would be glorified. Lord, that you would bring a great sense of encouragement and expectation, God, around what you are doing in and through our lives. I pray, Lord, today that we would be transformed by the power of your Spirit, that the words that I speak wouldn't just be words, God, that, you know, go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, that they would activate transformational change, and Lord, that they would set us free, that we would have a clearer perspective of the things that you're calling us into, both individually and collectively, Lord God, as a community of people that just love you, and Lord God, that we seek to share that love with other people in our community and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about this week, one of the theme for those who are visiting with us this morning, we're looking at a theme called The Few Who Followed, and looking at the disciples, the people who actually followed Jesus during his ministry. And I was thinking about this in my prayer time this week and thinking, everyone likes the unlikely hero, yeah? I certainly do. So the unlikely hero, you know, particularly Australians, I think we all get this kind of, we share this in common, a lot of people. We're more drawn to the underdog, you know, the one that has got all the odds are set against him, the one that really, you know, if the stats were going to line up in regard to, you know, all the things that could go against them, they're the ones, the unlikely heroes that rise to the top. You know, I think one of my favourite kids' movies is, you know, Bug's Life. Everyone tells that ant everything he's not, and yet somehow in the midst of his journey, he discovers and overcomes some of the obstacles, I think, that are in his way. And obviously, you know, like all good Disney stories, he ends victorious and creates change for his ant community. But, you know, for me, I think the unlikely hero is one that I'm always looking for, because I do think that there are a lot of people throughout our world, throughout generations, that have been called by God to actually turn vision into action. One of my favourite scriptures of all time is actually Hebrews 11, and it lists the people within that hall of fame who were called by God to actually create change within the context of their time and their generation. And we, you know, this list of people, and it says in that scripture that, you know, you could go on about the list of people that were called by God to do mighty things on his behalf. And I love that, because what I love about this particular topic that we us looking at with the disciples or the few who followed is that we all qualify. We're all on this journey together. And you know what? When I look at the biblical text throughout history and the story of God's love from Genesis right through to Revelation, it actually amazes me that God chose time and time again ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Ordinary, average people. He saved a slave, a baby slave. That was Moses on a river, a prostitute. He was always advocating on behalf of the poor and marginalized who had been told by society that they're not worthy to contribute. I love that about who Jesus is. I feel that that, for me, has been the foundation of the fact that, you know, I've said this time and time again, you know what? If the Lord can use me, He can use anyone. Seriously. I don't really have a high education. I was kicked out of school in year 10, blah, 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 blah. This whole thing's not about me. But what I want you to gather today as we kind of look at this passage, in our society where we are always, I think, striving to be significant, that our significance is found in our discipleship journey, the one who created us, the one who before time had a plan and a purpose for your life and for mine. And the challenge for us is to discover really what is that for. And so today I really was excited when Brett said to me, you know, Jen, I want you to speak on Martha. Because I think that, you know, just a few thoughts I want to share today, because I did say that I want to be quick, and I told Brett that I could do it in 25 minutes, although I'm not sure he really believes me. But I want to look at the character of Martha and just draw out a couple of things from her discipleship journey that maybe we can apply to our own lives and really begin to understand and be challenged about what is God doing in our discipleship journey. Where are we in the journey? Maybe for some of us, we haven't actually met this Jesus. For some of us, maybe we've been journeying for quite a long time. And there may be a message that God wants to speak into your heart today to encourage you and to continue to move through whatever part you are in your journey, that He will call you forward. But what we do know in Scripture from Mary is that she was the older sister, sorry, Martha, she was the older sister of Mary. And in John 11:5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we read in Scripture that these were three people that Jesus absolutely loved. And we get a glimpse in Scripture that Jesus actually spent a lot of time in their house. And this week when I was doing a lot of research around the commentary around this, that Jesus actually, there was something about these people that Jesus felt loved and comfortable, and He would spend quite a lot of time in their home. So the Scripture we're going to look at today, the reference Martha, is a very common one, a very popular one that has been preached about goodness knows how many times. But it's the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10:38-42. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along with me. Otherwise, I'll read it out and you can listen. Mary and Martha. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she and her sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" There's another reference in Scripture where Martha and Mary go out to in John, which I won't read the whole thing, but there are other places where Martha is referenced in Scripture as when her brother Lazarus takes ill and he dies. And Martha goes out to Jesus and says to Jesus, you know, the one that you love, he's dead. it's too late. So she tells him that Lazarus is unwell and that he's dead. And Jesus waits 2 days and then comes back into their village and he brings Lazarus back from the dead. They're the two scriptures that we can glean the most amount of information in regard to Martha. But the one I particularly want to look at today is the scripture that I've just read from Mary and Martha's incident in the house with Jesus. The first kind of thought I want to share with you is that Martha is a disciple, that Martha's discipleship was someone, a discipleship was actually who God had called and created her to be. I'd already said to you at the beginning of this that everyone qualifies. But the interesting thing about this particular passage of scripture is that this idea of discipleship for a woman in first century Jewish culture was completely unheard of. So for us to consider that women could be disciples or followers of Jesus in our day is like, yeah, that's just normal. But not so for them, that they were chosen, that they could actually that they were included in these people that could follow Jesus, a disciple. At the time from the research I did this week was that every male rabbi in that day only had male disciples. Jesus was the exception. And one of the thoughts I was reading this week in some of my reflection is that Mary may have actually protested more Martha may have protested more because of Mary's behaviour as being scandalous in taking a male role than because she needed help with the work, the housework. This incident with Jesus is so incredibly transformational. Not just for the disciples who were in the house with Jesus, but it was transformational for the lives of both Martha and Mary in their discipleship journey. And what I thought about this week with Martha when I tried so hard, and it's all really difficult because obviously the context of, you know, Martha and Mary in a Jewish world where women were deemed of little worth, where, you know, Jewish men would thank God that they weren't Jews that they weren't a slave or a Gentile or a woman, that women were of no or little worth. So this encounter that Mary has when she sits at the feet of Jesus and Martha questions that would have been so confronting at every level, in everyone in the house. So this powerful testimony of the fact that Jesus, in his act of love, invites everyone into a discipleship journey just blows my mind. And in Jewish culture, the house was actually divided. So this was like the guest room and then this was the kitchen. And the only people that were allowed in the guest room were the male guests. So for Mary to be sitting at the feet of Jesus was completely scandalous and went against every cultural norm. And one of the things I thought about this week, that there is a cost involved in discipleship. And the cost for Mary and Martha was that actually they had to have the tenacity and the strength to go against the expectations of everyone and everything else that told them that they were worthless. They had to stand in the gap and choose to believe the truth of who God was calling them into being. That their identity was actually found in discipleship. Martha's identity is found in the discipleship journey that she was on. But Martha was distracted by cultural pressures that confined her to an identity that was not who she was. And Jesus was calling that out of Martha, not to be defined by the culture of the day, but to be defined by the truth of who Christ, the risen Saviour, was calling her to be. And Martha did what was expected by her cultural norm. So there's massive implications for these two women to choose to follow the truth of who God had called them to be. To stand against the expectations of her culture of the time and say, you know what, I'm not choosing to go that path, but let me tell you, there's a cost involved in that. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel normal. People will probably talk about them. And yet, I think that this was exactly what Jesus was calling Martha. And for me, I think, how often do we as a culture allow our culture to determine who we are? What we stand for. How much in my life, if I'm completely honest, do I live up to the thoughts and expectations of other people because I want to be liked? I want to be included. I want to belong. I want them to like me. And yet discipleship often for us can make us feel incredibly uncomfortable because it goes against the grain. It's not the norm. In Romans 12:1-2, I love this passage of scripture. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention to God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You know, there's freedom in this discovery of the discipleship journey, and I believe that Martha may have found that. Although there's not really enough evidence in Scripture for me to confidently say because I really wasn't there. But my thought is that Mary, Martha and Mary, in this incident, discovered life, discovered purpose, discovered direction and meaning and a relationship with the living God. The cost is all about transformation, not comfort. And the challenge for us is the surrender. It's actually no longer about you. It's about glorifying Jesus. The other thing I thought about in this passage is discipleship would challenge your way of behaving, acting, and thinking. And discipleship is a journey, a salvation, which is an ongoing process. During my research this week, I was astounded at actually how many references reinforce the idea that Martha's activity was less spiritual than Mary's. I don't know how many times I've heard this in Bible studies, and I do absolutely am passionate about contemplative prayer and stopping. I think in my life, the busyness often distracts us from really understanding and reflecting and understanding where we're at and where God's leading us. So I'm all for that. But what I was interested in this week is the fact that there's a perception, I think, that Mary actually comes out on top. She was the one that was, she had chosen the better part. The scripture says, Jesus said that she'd chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. But what I found interesting in this particular scripture is if we read it in context, it actually comes straight after the Good Samaritan story. And so there's a message for us beyond what Jesus is talking about in regard to Martha, because I don't think it's the activity that Jesus had a problem with. I think we have to have both. It's an and or. We need to be sitting at the feet of God in order that we'd be strengthened to get into the activity of what God wants us to do. So Jesus is asserting that you and I are indeed called to active discipleship, living out faith in the world around us. And what we learn from Martha's discipleship journey is that we do so not in our own strength alone. Instead, our acts of faithfulness are to be rooted and grounded in the relationship of Lord for life. For without it, the challenge for us, and I have been in this rhythm, been Christian quite a while, been in this rhythm for quite some time, is without it we become fragmented and anxious and soon find ourselves carping at others along the way and losing steam in our ability to continue in the journey. What I love about Martha in this moment, and I so wish we had more detail, Kim talked about it in her preaching. I'm one of the ones that want more detail in the stories, you know. Imagine what Martha would have been like when Jesus stood up to her and said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only one thing you need." So Martha comes up to Jesus and she's like, "Hey, what's up with this whole idea of the little sister sitting down and like at the feet? Can you not see what I'm doing? Can you not see, Jesus? I'm working so hard here. I'm working to administer things for you. I'm working to serve the disciples. Can you tell us to get up and do something to help? Can you speak to her? Do something about her." And what does Jesus do? Directs it directly at Martha. Don't you hate it when people do that in your life, where you want a little bit of sympathy and then they're like... I can remember not so long ago sitting down with my debrief counselor and I'm like having some conversation with her about all this stuff. Someone else was like, you know, and they're doing this and they're doing that and they're... And she's turned around and she said to me, "So, Jen, how are you contributing to this problem?" I felt like saying, "Are you kidding me? I'm like paying $150 for you to tell me. Like, really? Do you not get it? It's about her. We're talking about her, you know, or him, or what are you doing directing it back at me for?" Like, a little bit of confusion. Walked out of there going, "Okay, I'm never going to talk to her again. She's painful. She really obviously is a bad counselor, doesn't understand it." Imagine what Martha felt like. Seriously? I'd love to ask her. Did she want to just go, like, "Jesus, really?" Like, what was her response? We just don't have that. But what I do know in my life, the people that I am so grateful for are the ones that have spoken really difficult words into my life. I had a boss that opened doors that I've been journeying with for years and years and years and years. And one day he said something that was really confronting and I was so angry. I remember driving home and calling Brett and telling Brett how annoying he was. And you know, I'm glad that I took his advice and started to implement some of the blind spots that I was not aware of in my leadership. It takes courage in our discipleship journey to allow people to give us feedback in regard to some of the blind things that are holding us back. And I think about this and I think, man, this was a defining moment in Martha's life. What she learnt from that incident could have been the foundation and that enabled her to be strengthened for all that God would have her do. And what I love about Martha, and we don't really read a lot about this, is that she's portrayed as a true disciple, the one without unhesitating faith in Jesus, whom God sent into the world. The confession that Jesus is Lord was prior to the miracle that Jesus did with her brother. And the only other person that I, in the research that I did, was that had that kind of statement was Peter. Her statement that Jesus is Lord is almost the exact same confession of Peter's in Matthew 16:6. So the question in our discipleship journey is, how do you respond when someone gives you feedback? Are you offended? I am a lot of the time. And then I debrief with people like, you know, Kim or my girls group or somewhere where I'm like, yeah, that's not fair. And then they sort me out. But yeah, seriously, how do you, you know, discipleship? Because discipleship is about transformation. And transformation costs us something. It changes the way we think, behave, and act. Discipleship's not unicorns and butterflies. It's hard work. The last kind of thing I want to lead you to is that discipleship is a gift. It's a privilege and not a duty. And the activity of discipleship that comes out shouldn't be an obligation. It's a privilege. I look at this scripture and I see in this scripture in Luke where it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." It doesn't say Mary asked her. Martha asked her. So she's the one that took the initiative, had the idea, asked everyone back if we look at scripture, and that's actually what happened. And a woman named Martha welcomed him and her back. Then bang. So when she was actually administering, serving and doing what she had been maybe felt she should be doing, Martha got to a point where the privilege of serving was no longer a privilege anymore. It was an obligation. She was whinging about it. She was whinging about the impact of her own decision to be part of this journey that God was orchestrating in her life. The Son of the Living God was coming to her house for dinner. How often in my life have I been in a place over the last however many years that I've served here where I've come in a rhythm of obligation instead of really seeing the bigger picture of what God invites us into? I remember one morning when I was serving in the kids ministry. This was before Avs and before our kids ministry it was in the old building, I think, or maybe we just changed. And I was serving over a period of time in kids ministry, and I was really, you know, the fun factor in that time probably wasn't high. I will completely confess to that. And so I was serving in this ministry week after week and praying, "God, please, will you just please bring along a kids pastor who really feels that this is where they should be right now, because I don't." And I was cranky one morning and I'm driving to church. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I had. I'm driving to church. I'm like, you know, I got to get there and I've got to serve and I've got to. And I felt like the Lord just say to me from, there's a scripture in Numbers. "You know what, Jen? The same spirit you carry, the same spirit you carry will impact those around you." It was such a massive aha moment for me. Because I think if we're honest, we get caught in the duty over a long period of time. I've been serving here for such a long time. And I would be lying to you if I said I'm actually joyful every time I have to come up and serve. I'm just not. Like, I love what I do. I love our church. Sometimes, though, we have to ask ourselves in the midst of that, you know, the privilege of being able to serve God, to be part of a community, to look at the bigger picture, to look at what God's doing in our community. That's what motivates me to serve. But when my eyes are focused purely on me and my needs and my ideas and what I want to happen, I lose sight of the privilege of what God has called me into. I lose sight of who God's called and created me to be. And the part that I get that the Lord's using me to impact the lives of others. You know, Jesus' words for Mary were a reminder that discipleship is not mere duty, nor is it meant to be an act of drudgery or little more than an oppressive obligation. To the contrary, discipleship is the joy, and we are all free to respond to the invitation that God gives us. I do think that sometimes for some of us, overcoming obligation, overcoming those moments where we feel obliged is a really difficult season. And sometimes I think it is difficult because I think we lose touch with the bigger picture in perspective of where we fit within God's big story. You know, one of the things I started at the beginning of this passage, one of the things I think that is most impacting again around this story, and there is evidence to suggest that prior to Jesus' death, crucifixion, that Jesus spent a lot of time in Bethlehem. So there's an assumption that he spent that time with Mary and Martha in their house and Lazarus. What an amazing privilege for those girls and Lazarus to be in the midst of God orchestrating such a massive change in history by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And how difficult must it have been for them to go through that journey with him, to see his death, but also the celebration of seeing him rise again. And how confusing I think that was for them. You know, I think we're all on a discipleship journey. We're all in different parts and sometimes part on that journey. And for some of you, you may be in that place where you're just feeling like the drudgery of it. My prayer for you is that you will see the magnificence of what God is calling you into, that God can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask, dream, or imagine, that you qualify to be part of the discipleship journey, that God has not overlooked you, that God has plans and purposes that he's orchestrating in your life, no matter what age you are. And that God is okay with your questions. And I don't think God looks down at us when we're in those times when we feel like we're doing something out of duty with a rod that's like he just wants to draw us into a bigger picture so we understand the bigger picture and perspective of what he's called us into. God wants to free us. God wants to release us. God wants to be us to be all that he's called and created us to be. God is drawing us out. God is removing the obstacles that stand in front of us. And we're all on this journey and we're all in different places on that journey, and that's okay. I think God can handle it. The disciples, if one of the things that we learn from the few followers, it's that they were all had different stuff that they were dealing with. And God can handle that. But don't allow the enemy to get under your skin and rob you from the truth of who God has called and created you to be. To distract you from the things that God has asked you to do. Because my prayer in this week and in this moment is no eye can see nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love them. And God is outworking that in your life and in my life and in the life of this church. And I trust wholeheartedly that God will continue to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail, and that we will raise victorious, and that we would continue to see leaders risen, positioned and equipped to be part of this magnificent story of pushing back darkness so that other people can understand and experience the hope and love of Jesus and come on the discipleship journey with us. Everyone, the poor, the oppressed, no one is not included in this journey. Jesus invites everyone on this journey. Let me pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your love for us. I thank you, Lord God, that you call us into this discipleship journey, Lord God. And I thank you for the promise, Lord, that you give us in Scripture. Lord, it is in you we live and move and have our being. It is in you, God, that we discover who we are. And Lord God, we want to confess that your thoughts are way greater than our thoughts, much bigger than our thoughts, and your ways are much bigger than our ways. And sometimes, Lord, we don't have a bigger perspective. Lord, today I pray, God, that you would continue to encourage us, that you would continue, Lord God, to strengthen us, that you would continue to see, Lord God, the things and the obstacles, Lord, that are holding us back. I pray, Lord, that we would run this race, Lord God, with a great sense of freedom, that you would strengthen us and help us to be resilient and steadfast, Lord, time, Lord, in times, God, where we feel disappointed and stuck. I pray, Lord God, that your name would be glorified, Lord God, that we would see your kingdom come, that we would see more people experience the transformational love and hope that you so beautifully gave to us. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would also give us the courage, Lord, to address those areas in our life that are holding us back. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be defined by the expectation, the thoughts and opinions of man, but God, would you fill us anew, that we would be completely, Lord, courageous and strong enough, Lord, to follow your lead. Would you speak to us, Holy Spirit, and come and bring continued transformation to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.